Luke chapter 11. Reading one more time, verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. This is the word of the Lord. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him"? And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. There are several themes that run throughout the books of Luke and Acts. Themes that are foreshadowed in Luke and then fulfilled in Acts. One of those themes that we have seen is the gathering of the Gentiles. That is, the inclusion of the Gentiles in the covenant people of God. That theme is foreshadowed in Luke, and then it is fulfilled in Acts. Another of those themes is the pouring out of the Spirit upon the church. This also is anticipated in Luke and then fulfilled in Acts. It is anticipated in Luke and it is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when the resurrected and ascended Christ with the Father pours out the Spirit upon the church. There is no gospel without the day of Pentecost. It is an essential part of our salvation. It is an essential part of redemptive history. It is the completion of redemptive history. There is no gospel without the day of Pentecost. Without the giving and receiving of the Spirit, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is of no benefit to you. Without the giving and receiving of the gospel, without the giving and receiving of the Spirit, the gospel is not good news for you. There is no gospel without the day of Pentecost. There is no gospel without the giving and receiving of the Spirit. It is only through the Spirit that your salvation, planned by the Father and accomplished by the Son, is given to you. It is only through the Spirit that that salvation, planned by the Father and accomplished by the Son, becomes yours. The importance of the Spirit is very clearly seen in our passage. The importance of the Spirit is very clearly seen in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. In the parallel passage of Matthew's Gospel, in the parallel text of Matthew's Gospel, we read something slightly different from what we read here. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, we read, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, the Father gives good things to his children. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it is not good things in general which the Father gives, but it is the Holy Spirit in particular. And this must shape our understanding of what the Father promises to give to his people, of what the Father promises to give to you. You are free to ask God for any good thing. You are encouraged to ask God for any good thing, for every good thing comes from the Father above. You are free to ask God for anything that is revealed to be good by His Word. You are not to ask God for things that are contrary to His Word. But you are free to ask Him for things that are revealed to be good by His Word. You are free to ask Him for life. Health. Strength. Work, food, clothing, a husband, a wife, a child. These are good things that the Father gives. You are free to ask God for anything that is revealed to be good by His Word, that He declares to be good in His Word. But when we read, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." We are not to understand that God is promising to give to us whatever we want, no matter how good it might be. Yes, He invites you to pray for good things. Yes, He encourages you to be persistent in praying for good things. But here, in Luke chapter 11, that is not what He is promising to you. Whatever good thing for which you might ask. What is He then promising? It is important that we understand. Lest someone deceive you and suggest to you, "Well, God would have given you that had you only asked a little harder, sought a little longer, knocked a little louder." If only your faith had been greater. In Luke chapter 11, God is not promising to give us whatever it is for which we might ask, however good it might be. But what then is He promising? What is He promising to give to His people? What is He promising to give to you? On the one hand, we may say that He is here promising to fulfill the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. To fulfill those petitions which Christ taught His people to pray. You may pray, "Father, hallowed be Your name," in the confidence that His name will be hallowed. You may pray, "Your kingdom come," in the confidence that His kingdom will come. You may pray, "Give us today our daily bread," in the confidence that God will give to you all that you truly need, whether physical or spiritual. You you may pray, forgive us our sins, in the confidence that God will forgive you your sins. And you may pray, lead us not into temptation. In the confidence that He will sanctify you, that He will lead you to glory. These things the Father promises to give to those who ask. And on the other hand, we may say, verse 13, that the Father promises to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. If we would understand the asking and giving, the seeking and finding, the knocking and opening that is described for us in Luke chapter 11, we must read Luke chapter 11 in the context of the Old Testament. This seeking and finding is not a story that begins in Luke chapter 11. It is not a story that begins in the New Testament. It is a story that begins in the Old Testament. What Christ is promising in Luke chapter 11 is not new. It was something promised long before His coming. He is repeating a promise that was announced in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord speaks to His people in exile. The Lord speaks to His people in exile of a day that is to come. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. A day when they shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. A day when the mountains and hills shall break forth into singing. A day on which all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. But this day that is promised, it is preceded by God's people calling upon Him, calling upon His name. And so in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, speaking to His people in exile, the Lord says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Promise of God's people, the promise of God to His people, the promise of their entering into His kingdom with joy. That day is preceded by His people calling upon Him, by His people returning to Him, by His people seeking Him and finding Him. And likewise in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 29, the Lord there also is speaking to his people in exile. And there he promises to return them from exile, to bring them out of exile, and to bring them to their inheritance. He promises to bring them out of Babylon and to return them to Jerusalem. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And as in Isaiah, in Jeremiah chapter 29, this deliverance, this return, it is preceded by the repentance of God's people. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." The seeking and finding of Luke chapter 11, it must be read in the context of the Old Testament. It must be read in the context of Isaiah chapter 55 and Jeremiah chapter 29. And when we read Luke chapter 11 in that context, we immediately understand that Luke chapter 11 is not about our receiving anything and everything for which you might ask, but rather that Luke chapter 11 is about the fulfillment of God's promise in the Old Testament. The fulfillment of his promise to bring his people out of exile and to bring them into his kingdom. The fulfillment of his promise to pardon their sins. The fulfillment of his promise to dwell in their midst. In Luke chapter 11, through teaching his disciples what to pray, Jesus was announcing to them that the time had come. That the time had come when God's people would at last seek him and find him. That the time had come to ask and to receive. That the time had come to seek and to find. And in the Old Testament, what was the sign of that day becoming a present reality? The Old Testament, the sign of that day having become a present reality, was the pouring out of the Spirit upon God's people. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God. The entrance of God's people into his kingdom. It happens when his Spirit is poured out upon them. Your entrance into God's kingdom. It happens when his Spirit is placed upon you. Every petition of the Lord's Prayer, everything for which we ask in the Lord's Prayer, it is answered in the receiving of the Holy Spirit. For it is the Spirit who sanctifies. And thus it is by the Spirit that God's name is sanctified among you. It is through the Spirit that the kingdom of God comes. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The life of the kingdom is the life of the Spirit. Life in the kingdom is life in the Spirit. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit who unites us to Christ. It is the Spirit who unites us to his death and resurrection. It is the Spirit who nourishes us. It is the Spirit who leads us. It is the Spirit who raises us. It is the Spirit who transforms us. It is by Christ that your salvation is accomplished. But it is through his Spirit that your salvation is given. Without your receiving the Spirit, the gospel is not good news. Without your receiving the Spirit, the death and resurrection of Christ is of no benefit to you. Christ teaches his disciples to pray for the Spirit. Because Christ came to give the Spirit. In Luke chapter 11, Christ is announcing the promises of God as fulfilled in him. Christ came to seek and to find. Christ came to ask. And to receive. Christ. Christ came to seek and to find. He came to seek the kingdom for you. And through his obedience unto death, through his resurrection from the dead, he has found that kingdom for you. Christ came to ask and to receive. Psalm 2, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Christ asked, and he has received. He sought, and he has found. You are his inheritance. And so you may ask, and you will receive. You may seek, and you will find. You may knock, and it will be opened to you. This is what God's promise. This is what God promises. This is what the Father gives. Seek the Lord, and you will find him. Ask for the Spirit, and you will receive him. Amen. Let us pray.